As Pauline mentioned, our theme for today, under the broad theme of seeking God together, is making time. Do you have trouble making time for God each day? How often in a day do you pray or communicate with God? Today, we're looking at the story of Daniel in the lion's den to see what it can teach us about our practice of prayer and its place in our daily routine. As I prepared for this morning, I did pray too, but as I prepared for this morning, three songs kept running through my mind. The first I recall singing in Sunday school, and it's Dare to be a Daniel. The chorus goes like this. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose true, dare to make it known. This song invites me to be like Daniel, dare to be different than the world around me in order to be faithful to God, not hiding my relationship with God. The second song is one I recall singing with my mother while we were doing dishes, and the first verse goes like this. Whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening to keep your heart in tune. This song challenges me to pray or communicate with God multiple times a day, to keep in tune with God. I think these two songs highlight some of the invitations from today's story of Daniel in the lion's den, and I'll get to the third song later. As you listened to the dramatic scripture reading from Daniel 6, what stood out for you? Did you experience any invitations from God? Here are some of the things that stood out for me and some of the invitations I experienced. First, Daniel must have been a very busy man if he and two others were supervising the governors of 120 states. I sensed the Spirit's invitation to always make time to pray, regardless of how busy I am, and maybe especially when I'm very busy. Second, I noticed Daniel's character was such that others could find no fault with the way he did his work. He was always honest, listened to the king, and was faithful to God. These are characters you and I can have as well. I can be honest, a good listener, and faithful to God. And thirdly, I noticed Daniel was willing to risk his life to pray as he routinely did. I sensed the invitation to look at my own prayer habits and wondered, is my prayer life as important to me as Daniel's was to him? Would I risk my life to pray? What made Daniel willing to risk his life to pray as he always did? I decided to look at Daniel chapters 1 to 5 to see if they would help me get to know Daniel and better understand him. From these earlier chapters, I learned or was reminded of things like Daniel and three of his friends were among the many young Jewish men taken as prisoners by the Babylonian army when King Nebuchadnezzar captured Jerusalem. They were taken to the city of Babylon, 2,700 kilometers away. King Nebuchadnezzar ordered his chief official to choose from these captives some young men who were healthy, handsome, smart, wise, educated, and fit to serve in the royal palace. They were to be trained for 3 years to speak and write the language before becoming court officials. Daniel and three friends were part of the group chosen. Somehow, I doubt that it was because Daniel was deemed healthy, handsome, smart, wise, educated, and fit to serve in the royal palace that he dared to risk his life in order to pray as he always did. I noticed that when Daniel was chosen to be in the king's court, the first thing he did was ask that he and his three friends be able to eat only what God had approved for his people, rather than the rich food and wine the king had decreed. The king's chief official was afraid to grant him this request. He was sure if Daniel and his friends ate something else, they wouldn't be as healthy as the other captives. If the king found out they weren't given what he had ordered, it might cost the official his life. But Daniel was able to convince a guard to give him a 10-day trial period of eating only vegetables and drinking water. After that trial period, when he and his three friends looked healthier than all the other young captives, they were allowed to continue with their chosen diet and be true to God. I saw that Daniel was a young person who took his faith seriously. I also noticed that Daniel was gifted by God with the ability to interpret dreams, and that he recognized that he needed God's help in order to do it. When he was praised by the king for interpreting his dream, he immediately attributed his ability to the one true God. I saw that Daniel acknowledged that his gift came from God. He depended on God. He was humble and gave credit where credit was due. And then I noticed the time he asked his friends to join him in praying for wisdom to know and explain King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I saw that support of his faith community was important to Daniel. When God showed Daniel in a vision King Nebuchadnezzar's dream and its meaning, Daniel made time to praise and thank God even before sharing the dream and its meaning with the king. I saw Daniel made God his first priority. In these first five chapters, I noticed that King Darius was the third king in whose royal courts Daniel worked, and that by today's story, Daniel was an old man, probably in his 80s. I concluded that his relationship with God throughout his life, sustained by his daily pattern of prayers, intercession, and thanksgivings, was the reason he was willing to risk his life to pray, as he always did. I realized Daniel was not unique in his prayer routine. It was part of his Jewish faith tradition. You may recall Psalms that mention praying in the morning and or evening, or morning, noon, and night. In the Gospels, we see Jesus continued the Jewish tradition of praying morning and night, as many times in between. The book of Acts refers to the early church gathering frequently to pray together. For example, Pentecost happened when the followers of Jesus were together praying. After Pentecost, the followers of Jesus devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Peter and John healed the lame man on the temple steps as they all gathered for prayers. Praying together continued as part of the daily life in the early church, shaping their days around scripture and prayer, most often the Lord's Prayer and Psalms. I wonder, why do we no longer have prayer routines like Daniel and the early church? I came across some possible reasons. During times of persecution, the early Christians held their worship services in the catacombs and added to the traditional prayers of the Jewish people. They ended up praying every 3 hours. Over time, only priests, monks, nuns continued this practice, and they also added songs, reading, and responses making all these prayer times difficult for ordinary people to do. Another reason might be that during the Reformation, many Protestants and Anabaptists initially rejected much of the Catholic liturgy, only then to later develop their own spiritual rituals and practices around prayer. And because of the persecution, Anabaptists did not have much option of praying together. And later, with the Industrial Revolution and urbanization, people lost the rural rhythms that encouraged getting together to pray. Individualism spread, and personal devotions became the norm. I struggled in my early years to communicate with God or pray. I was uncomfortable with my prayers consisting of mainly requests with a few thank yous. I dutifully read scripture or a devotional reading, but I'll admit I paid more attention to getting it done than listening for God's invitations to me. I understood prayer to be more talking than listening, and praying with others was not comfortable. Thankfully, over the years, my definition of prayer has broadened, and there has been a renewed interest in spirituality and prayer in the wider church, with more prayer resources being provided. I am thankful to have learned about many spiritual practices and fixed our prayers, or praying together with others at a certain time, is one of them. I personally have never prayed at fixed hours, using the same prayers that others in my community are using at the same time, although my prayer routine does include praying morning and evening. I have appreciated being a part of small groups that used prayer books or things like Lenten guided prayer materials, and then met to share from our experiences. Prayer books can be used by individuals praying at the same time of day as others, or whenever it fits one's schedule. There are two or three prayer books from our own faith tradition on the library shelf in the foyer. Praying with the Anabaptists is one of them. The subtitle is The Secret of Bearing Fruit. Each of the 15 meditations include a selected scripture from John 15 to 17, focusing on the vine and the branches parable. Meditations include reflections on the text, a hymn, words from early Anabaptists, a martyr's prayer, and are followed by a guided prayer exercise. Take Our Moments and Our Days is another Anabaptist prayer book. It has two volumes, as well as a free app one can download on your phone. Volume one is for ordinary time, and volume two is for Advent through Pentecost. It provides daily meditations for both morning and evening prayers over a period of 4 weeks. The themes are the Lord's Prayer, the Beatitudes, the Parables, and week four is Signs and Wonders. This book suggests that if you're not in the habit of using a prayer book, it's best to begin with either morning or evening prayers rather than attempting both. Christian Formation and Worship Ministry is planning to send out a survey asking what topics would be of interest for a deeper study in the fall. If prayer is something in which you are interested, you might be wanting to fill that out and indicate that. I suppose there is no need to wait until the fall to begin using a prayer book. You could start anytime on your own using a prayer book or app, or you could ask a friend or two to join you and then meet to share from your experiences, either in person or Zoom or on telephone. The important thing is to make time to communicate with God in a way that works for you. My prayer is that the story of Daniel will inspire each of us to evaluate our prayer lives, look at our priorities, and support each other in finding prayer routines that are meaningful to us. In closing, I want to share one more song from my childhood. I assume it was from my childhood because I couldn't find it in any of the recent hymnals. The first verse has kept running through my mind when preparing for today. It is, "Take time to be holy." It reminds me of the many invitations I experienced in the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Because it is not written in modern English, I have translated for myself these invitations. I'll share it with you line by line, along with my translations, and afterwards we can all sing it together as our hymn of response. So the first verse, "Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord." So my translation is, make time to be holy and communicate often with God. "Abide in him always and feed on his word." Stay connected to God. I'm thinking of the vine and the branches image. And be nourished by scripture. Notice it's, I like that it says feed rather than just read. "May friends of God's children help those who are weak." My translation is, build community and support each other. "Forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek." Remember to always pray for guidance. Second verse goes, "Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Make time with God a priority in your busy world. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Communicate frequently with Jesus. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be." Follow Jesus' example and become like him. "Thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see." Friends will see Jesus in the way I live. Verse 3. "Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide." Make time to be guided by Jesus. "And run not before him, whatever betide." Wait for direction, no matter what. "In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord." Whether happy or sad, follow Jesus. "And looking to Jesus, still trust in his word." Look to Jesus and scripture and trust him. Verse 4. "Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul." Make time to let Jesus help me be calm. "Each thought and each motive beneath his control." Turn to Jesus to control my thoughts and motives. "Thus led by his spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above." My translation is, God's Spirit will pour out God's love for me, which will equip me to serve others.